My mother grew up in the same hometown that I grew up in, a little dinky farm community called Hartford, Ohio. And right across the field from her house was her best friend's house, Beverly. And her and Beverly had a wonderful, close, and important friendship. When things weren't going right at home, they clung to each other. Beverly's home could be a little hostile and a little violent. Her father was not a very nice man. And I love my grandparents to death, but I have to be honest that they were pretty rough parents. So sometimes it was really, really important to have that close friend that you could run across the field to and just tell them all of your joys and all of your sorrows and all of your dreams. Well, they grew up going to church together. They grew up playing at school together. They grew up doing everything together. And then they just plain grew up. Mom got married. Beverly got married. Beverly stayed in Hartford, Ohio. And Mom moved away, at least for a time. They had their kids. And then it was just a wonderful dream for Mother that she got to come back to her hometown to live. She hadn't been away that many years, and she was really looking forward to renewing her friendship with Beverly. The hope was that they would pick up right where they left off. But a lot had changed in the years that my mother had been away. Beverly had found another church and had really begun to grow in a new direction in her faith. And my mother was married to a pastor. But at this point in her life, faith was pretty much a list of things you weren't supposed to do and a list of things you were supposed to do. And her and Beverly would have these conversations about faith, and now Beverly would just say things that would cause my mother to scratch her head and be a little confused. She said things to my mother like, "You know, I used to think being a Christian was about God zapping you with lightning if you did something wrong." And my mom would kind of scratch her head and go, "Well, I kind of thought that's still what it was about." But Beverly had discovered and was trying in every way she could to teach my mother that there was something more, that faith was actually about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that you could actually talk to Jesus and God about all of the things that they used to tell each other, and that you could find that same comfort, that same compassion, that same real presence that they found in being best friends. Well, as you can see, they didn't get to pick up just where they left off. A lot had changed. But a lot more was about to change. They had 1 year together. 1 year together. And then Beverly got really, really sick. I don't know that I'm going to get through this, but bear with me. She ended up in the hospital with acute leukemia. And in 1972, acute leukemia was, you have 4 to 6 weeks to live, and you're done. She wasn't going to have time to say goodbye to her kids, her family, anything. She was going to be gone in 4 to 6 weeks. Her friends from the new church, they came and they prayed with her. Mother came and she prayed with her, and Beverly kept saying, "I'm not going to die. God is going to heal me." This also did not fit with the kind of faith that my mother had. And she really thought that Beverly was somewhat in denial and that these new church friends from this new church were only encouraging this by saying that was the same thing they were receiving from God in their prayers, that God was going to heal her. Well, the 4 to 6 weeks passed. And Beverly's leukemia, acute leukemia, went into complete remission. Complete remission. There was no evidence of the leukemia. The doctors could not explain it. There was only one explanation that Beverly would listen to, and that was that God had healed her, had given her a chance at life. She got to go home and have another year with her kids. She got to go home and have another year with her husband, and she got to put everything in order. And by the way, I'm saying this, you probably anticipate the next thing I'm going to say. And then the year passed, and Beverly got sick again. The leukemia was back. And this time, Beverly knew it was it. God had given her the gift of a year, and she had used it well. And she still had a little time left, she knew that. But this time it wasn't going into remission. This time it was going to take her physical life. But to my mother's utter amazement, this didn't seem to bother Beverly as the way it was bothering my mother. Beverly had found a faith that could believe that the God she worshipped could handle whatever came her way. The God she worshipped could cure of cancer. But she also had found a faith of trust that even when God did not cure her, she could still trust. And she could still believe, and she could still find what she needed in God. To my mother's utter amazement, Beverly just kept on saying, "But God is taking care of my every need. Everything is fine." She concentrated her last part of her life on sharing her faith with her children and on sharing her faith with her family. And this is another one of those incredible stories where her parents were divorced and she really spent a lot of time with her parents sharing her faith, and they accepted Christ and got back together. And it really, the faith really happened for her father, a man who had once been very abusive and thrown her brother against the wall so hard he had damaged his kidney, had now found Christ, and in that had renewed his relationship with his son, who was also a Christian, and they had been able to forgive each other. It was life-changing for the whole family. Beverly's friends from this church kept coming to her and saying, "This isn't right. God healed you. Why are you sick again? You must not have enough faith. You must have some sin you need to confess. God must be trying to teach you something." They couldn't handle it when God didn't perform. They knew about the kind of faith that says God can handle it. They knew about the kind of faith that says God can deliver us from your hand, Nebuchadnezzar. God can deliver us from your fiery furnace. We don't need to defend ourselves. But they hadn't learned about the second part of that faith that says, and you know what? Even if God doesn't, it's still okay. We still trust God, and we're not going to bow. We're not going to give up on God, and we're not going to turn away. They were so frustrated with Beverly that they really, you know, they ended up stopped coming to the hospital because she wouldn't pray to be healed. Because she kept saying, "No, this time I know God's will, and I'm okay with it." For those of you who know and studied Job, I'm sure Job's friends are coming to mind at this time. Those friends that just kept saying, "Well, Job, there must be something wrong with you. Because if you're suffering, there must be something wrong with you." And as I was looking at this story and thinking about this sermon for this Sunday, another story came to my mind. I have got to renew my friendship with one of my favorite cousins of childhood. And he grew up in the church, but he's not in the church now. And he knows that I'm a pastor, and that intrigues him. And so we kind of talk about religious issues and faith. And he does it with such an honesty and sincerity that he normally teaches me more about my faith than I teach him. And one of the things he said to me was, you know, when I was a kid, I was taught in Sunday school that God will always take care of you. He heard these stories like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and the punchline, the thing they always went to is, and they were saved. Their clothes weren't even burned. Their hair wasn't even scorched. And he said, you know, life doesn't work that way. Bad things happen to good people. And they told me if I was good, God would always rescue me. It wasn't real easy. I said it wasn't real hard to give up on a faith that didn't work. Bad things were happening to him, and bad things were happening to a lot of good people in his life. It didn't gel with the faith he'd been taught. The story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego doesn't just teach us that God will rescue us. In fact, I think maybe Nebuchadnezzar gets the point of the story better than we in looking at it from our perspective. Because King Nebuchadnezzar says, look, these young men were willing to die rather than to worship a God that wasn't their own. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego didn't know how the story was going to turn out when they made the decision to trust God and to be faithful to what they'd been taught. For all they knew, they were going to be burned up in the furnace. I think that sometimes we have the faith like Beverly's friends, and like Job's friends, that tends to think if things aren't going right, then there must be something wrong with our faith. And granted, there are times when we bring bad stuff on ourselves by bad decisions we make. But it is also true that sometimes life is just hard. And I don't know about you, but as I get through life, I normally don't get through it without my clothes even being singed and my hair being scorched. And I sometimes, after a crisis, feel like I smell quite a little bit like smoke. Like I barely got through this with my life. Because I spend a lot of time scratching my head and wondering what I am doing wrong. I know better. But are you like me? As soon as things start going wrong, you start wondering what's wrong with you. When you have a bad day at work, you think, it's got to be my fault. When you don't get an answer to prayer, you think, what's wrong with me? I think we've been taught that kind of theology so subtly, it gets us when we least expect it. It kind of sneaks up behind us and whispers in our ear. And that faith that can say, you know what? Even when things are going wrong, even when it's not a good day, even when God is not answering my prayers the way I would want him to, even when I am going against what Nebuchadnezzar says in his praise of God and saying, God, what are you doing? The faith we have is not just a faith that saves us out of the midst of the turmoil, but a faith that says you can walk through it. You can trust God even in the midst of it. I think about Beverly. The reality was, she was not being grasped away from the hands of cancer, of leukemia, She was having to face it head on. Her body, well, it was getting singed pretty good. Her hair, well, I imagine it began to fall out. Her clothes probably began to smell like hospital clothes smell when you can't get up and take your own bath. But her spirit, she has an amazing lesson to teach us. Mom and I are still mesmerized by the way she handled it. She had such trust in God, such delight. She reminds me of those three really normal guys that we celebrate as such heroes that simply said, hey, even if God doesn't, we're going to trust. And even when God didn't heal her, she trusted. Jesus said, don't be afraid of that which can take your body and then do no more. But fear the one who can take your eternal life. Spiritually, Beverly's clothes weren't even cinched. She was amazing. And she had such a spirit. She trusted. We looked at Maccabees, and if you've missed Bible study, you've really missed out on the context in which the Daniel stories were originally told. A context of great persecution. A context in which many people were dying for their faith. One of the great verses that Stephanie shared with us is one of those martyrs about to face his death. Four brothers before him have died. And he says to the king, looks him right in the eye, and says, and my paraphrase of it is, just because God is allowing you to take my life and the life of these other people, don't you think for a minute that God has abandoned us. Paul would say it yet another way years later. Paul suffered great persecution, great suffering, and sharing the gospel. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was flogged. He had a thorn in the side of his flesh that he never really says specifically what it is. But the fact that even Paul went to his knees three times and said, God, you've got to take this from me, says it must have been pretty bad. And God said, my grace is sufficient. I think of all of the suffering that Paul went through for the gospel. And yet, he was able to say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to hold that which I've committed unto him against that day. Are those words familiar? That's a hymn that we often sing, but do you know what it means? It means, hey guys, I know that this life is rough. And that we are going to endure sometimes an awful lot. But know who you believe in. And know that you can trust him. That on the day of resurrection, he will remember everything you've been through. Might we too have a faith that cannot, you know, a faith that can say and can believe in miracles. A faith that can step forward and say, hey, our God can deliver us. He is fully capable. But a faith that can also say, and even if God does not, that's okay too. I'm still going to trust. Our closing hymn today is number